This morning we'll look at Psalm 139, which Eliza masterfully shared with us. Thank you, Eliza, for doing that. Psalm 139 is one of those passages that it's just so strikingly beautiful. And we realize, though, it is all addressed to God. So the psalmist, in recognizing the marvelous works of God, we see them in creation all through Psalms. There's lots of places that recognize what the marvelous works of God. Psalm 111 is one of those places. But in Psalm 139, it's looking more in the mirror and then looking inside. The psalmist is recognizing what God has done even in forming him. And it's such personal language. And just listen to some of these verbs that we hear. Lord, you know, you have searched me. You know me. You discern my thoughts. You search out my path and my lying down. You are acquainted with all my ways, even before a word's on my tongue. You know it. You hem me in behind and before. You lay your hand upon me. And it's just too marvelous for me. It's so high, I can't attain it. You know, we live in a day now where there's privacy policies. Anytime if you go on a website, you have to accept things, or if you're signing something, it's usually you have some privacy policy of how they may use your data to then market things to you. Psalm 139, it shows with God, there is no privacy policy. He knows us all the way down. In fact, better than we know ourselves. And that is good news. But usually we don't like the idea of someone knowing us too closely, because we're afraid if they do, we'll be rejected. But with the Lord, the one who knows us better than ourselves, he has made provision for us to come to him. He knows our need, and he has provided for it. That there's a word, providence. It's the idea of to see in advance, and to not only to see, but to see to someone's needs. And the psalmist is recognizing that the Lord not only sees him, but he sees to his every need. He says then, even the darkness is not dark to you. There are things that are mysterious to us in, you know, in the world, or even in our own emotions, our own motives, that sometimes we can't figure out. But the Lord knows. It's not dark to him. And again, he has seen to us. He can trace those things out. I've been helped greatly by a little book, a little prayer book called Valley of Vision. And it's prayers of old Puritans, and they're excellent. Sometimes, you know, when I come to prayer or come to confession, I might think, you know, hey, I don't seem that bad. I don't, looking at the history of my life, you know, I've not had, you know, a history of being murderous or, you know, all these different things. But the Valley of Vision, it does something. It shows all the nuanced ways that sin can take root in our hearts, that pride can creep up in a way that's not immediately evident, like shouting at someone, being angry, but there's all these other things in our hearts. And even those things, I'm so thankful that the Lord in his kindness through his Spirit helps to reveal these things. And God is greater than our hearts whenever our hearts condemn us. This is some of what the psalmist is doing here. He's recognizing, Lord, you know me, even the things that I don't know about myself that are not good, that I don't want to be known. You know them, and yet you've seen to them. And then we go down, and his response to this in verse 14, I praise you. The fact that God knows these things, that they're not hidden from him, he praises the Lord. He's fearfully, wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows that full well. And then he says, my frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. So the psalmist is saying here, we may acknowledge God as creator in a general sense. God made all things. But even believers can sometimes fall into this lie that, God sort of started things and then set back and then people are acting and doing things. The psalmist knows better. He knows that it wasn't just that humanity was created and he's a product of that, but he was intricately knitted together in his mother's womb. This week there was in Washington D.C., the March for Life, just a recognition that this is something that God has done. Life is a gift. It's who but God could do something like knitting together all of the different types of tissue, and that we might be a tabernacle, a dwelling for God himself. Last year when we were reading through the Bible, I was struck in Leviticus, reading about the furnishings for the temple and how the colors, the tapestry, and then the clothing for the priest. It never occurred to me, but in a way, the priest, his uniform, his the sacred garments that he wore looked like the tabernacle, which was a foreshadowing of the dwelling of God is to be with his people. And so likewise, the Lord knits us together, forms us that we might be a dwelling place for God. He has seen to our needs, our greatest need for himself. And so your eyes saw my unformed substance, and in your book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. I love that verse. It's such a comfort when we think of sickness, or we think of accidents, or we're perhaps afraid of what may come, that the psalmist knows all the days ordained for me were written in God's book. He is the author. He's the one who's working this out, and he's trustworthy. This author is not one who is disinterested. This is not one who is vague or apathetic or only vaguely aware of us, but this is one who knows us completely, and he is for us. He is good and he is trustworthy. This author is our friend. He's our loving father. In Ephesians 2, there's a passage that says, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works that God prepared in advance that we should walk in them. It's the New Testament's way of picking this up and saying, our lives are God's story. He's working it out. He's planned these things. And the word there for workmanship is poema, the word we would get poem. And a poem is very deliberately written. The lines, the spacing, the meter, all that. And that's how our lives are. It's God's workmanship, all of them written in his book before one of them came to be. That is a great comfort to us. And the psalmist is recognizing God as the author, the one who has authority, the one who is trustworthy. And then we read verse 17, how precious to me are your thoughts, O God, how vast the sum of them. If I could count them, they are more than the sand. So we're having a winter storm. And ahead of that storm, I imagine everyone has done a little bit of preparation. You've had thoughts about what do we need? Are we going to have enough firewood in case we lose power? Let's go ahead and maybe make sure we have some water in case we do that. Let's make sure our cell phones are charged. You've had a lot of thoughts probably just to get ready for a storm one weekend in January 2026. A lot of thoughts. And the Lord has more thoughts about you. He has seen to them. He has seen to your every need. And it's good and right to be prepared. Proverbs talks about that, you know, not to sleep during harvest time, to see danger and not to respond accordingly. So it's good and right to make preparation. And it's also good and right to recognize our author of our story has far more thoughts than we have, even as we're trying to make sure we're warm enough, that we have enough food, that we'll be able to be at home for a few days in case we get snowed in. The creator of the universe thinks about you more than you've thought about yourself. He could not even number the thoughts that he has for us. And we see then as well the fact that God is seeing to us. We're in Psalm 139, but you can go back to Genesis. On Thursday nights, we're doing a study. Dave Sable's leading us through, and we've been in Genesis 1. And there in creation, you see God is creating a place for his people to be with him. He starts the earth is formless and void, and then there's waters over everything. And then he separates and creates sky. He creates, gathers the waters into one place so that dry land appears. Then he provides for the food. But what he's doing in all of that is he's preparing a place for us to be with him. And then at the end of the Bible, on the other end, in Revelation 21, we see that God, again, is seeing to us. He's providing a place for us. And we read this. John, the Revelator, said, "I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away.'" So you could almost look at this as we see in Genesis, God is preparing a place for us. We see at the end of the ages, the beginning, we see that God is going to be with his people. And here in the middle, we have Psalm 139, psalmist recognizing the Lord is seeing to me. He's provided a place, again, not just for humanity, but for me, for you. God is not disinterested in you. He is not apathetic about you. He is not just vaguely aware of you. Those are lies that we have to dispel with the help of Scripture. This question that can sometimes crop up, does God really know and care about the details of my life? Let Psalm 139 be a resounding yes. Yes. He does. He is intricately involved and invested in you. From the tiniest details, including the formation of your body, your time, the days ordained for you, your manner of life, even the things that you don't know or understand emotionally and your motives, what is dark to you is not dark to him. He is paying attention to you, seeing to you with loving affection. And so, what do we do with Psalm 139? Since God is thinking so many thoughts about you, more than you can think yourself, and planning for you and seeing to you, then first of all, the first thing we should do is, like the psalmist here, address our praise to God. This whole psalm is addressed to God, and recognize and talk to him and just affirm, "These good things I have, Lord, you have seen to me. Whatever needs, you know them, you have provided." We thank him, we praise him. Secondly, if the Lord is so seeing to us and thinking all these thoughts, then we don't need to be anxious. We don't need to be worried about our lives. If this or that will happen, all the days ordained were written in his book before one came to be. We can trust him. And here's a place it's in Matthew, but it's also in Luke. I love how Luke captures this when Jesus says, Luke 12:22, I tell you, don't be anxious about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, what you'll put on. For life is more than food and the body more than clothing. And then he says, take a couple of lessons here. Consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouses nor barn, and yet God feeds them. Of how much more valuable are you than the birds? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? If then you are not able to do as small a thing as that, why are you anxious about the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass, which is alive in the field today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not seek what you are to eat and what you are to drink, nor be worried, for all the nations of the world seek after these things, and your Father knows that you need them. Instead, seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you. So the Lord, if he is seeing to us, I don't have to be anxious about what I'll eat, what I'll drink, what we'll put on. We consider the fact that he provides for the birds, for the flowers, and you are much more valuable. Psalm 139 says that. Just a recognition of we are his handiwork, created good works. And then so we don't need to be anxious. We have to talk to ourselves again. If we're ever discouraged or downcast, we can do like Psalm 42. David said, why are you downcast, O my soul? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him. We can likewise say, why are you being anxious? The Lord is the one who formed me and knows me and thinks about me more than I think about myself. His thoughts are trustworthy. He's seeing to me. And then secondly, if we don't need to spend our time worrying about ourselves, since we have a Father who sees to us, you're freed up to think about other things, specifically his kingdom. Verse 32, fear not, little flock. It's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Not only your material needs and your livelihood, all those things, but actually to be ambassadors of the kingdom, that others may know the wonderful works of God. So sell your possessions and give to the needy. Provide yourselves with money bags that do not grow old and with treasure in the heavens that do not fail, where no thief approaches and where no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So the practical results of this kind of introspection and looking in and recognizing what God has done in forming us, in knowing us so intimately, it frees us from anxiety and it frees us to look to the world around us, that others might know this kind of freedom, this God who is a Father and who cares for us. So it's a wonderful passage for Epiphany as we think about God taking the light to the nations. And he could use any means, but he wants to use his church, his people who know him, who have a Father who is seeing to every need, and who are then eager to bring others to the knowledge and the love of this Father who will see to them as well. And so, Father, we pray that you would so free us from anxiety, that we would rejoice and praise you for the fact that you have seen to every need. And then, Lord, send us out in confidence that you, Lord, are going before us and that you have others that you want to bring to your table where there is abundance. So, Lord, help us all, even on a snowy winter day, to be confident that you are our provider. You are the provident one seeing to us so we can be busy about the work of your kingdom. We pray in the name of your Son, Jesus, our Savior. Amen.